Quest episode 370. I'm your host, Mike Apps, aka Wheels, and filling in for Dave this week.
This is Joe Hanley, Smokin' Joe Gamer, and I am temporarily promoted to co-host for one day only.
Temporarily. Yes, unfortunately, Dave had a death in the family, so he will be out until he's back. Not going to put any sort of number on that. However much time he needs. So Joe's filling in this week, and next week, if needed, we'll pull in whoever we can and keep the show going. But this week, two of Dave's favorite games had a remaster announced, so it kind of seemed silly to not do a little mini show at least about the Sony State of Play. Because for once, there were actually a few good things.
You have nice things to say about a Sony State of Play?
Kind of.
Wow.
I don't know that any of them were Sony. Oh, yeah, I know some of them were Sony games. That Ghost of Tsushima sequel looks kind of nice.
I gotta play the first one some more, but yeah, Ghost of Yote.
Yeah. Cool. You have a list in front of you, though, right?
Yeah, so...
Is it in order they showed up, or... Not that it really matters.
Oh, I don't think so,
yeah,
but you know
fine.
What?
It's
fine.
Let's just go through the list. So, what's on top?
Okay, so... let's see. They're doing some type of Nier Automata DLC for Stellar Blade. Whatever. Don't care. The new Pearl Essence PS5 controller colors. They look kind of neat, but I already have two controllers.
I mean, that Stellar Blade DLC is funny, though, because...
Yeah.
When they first showed off that game, I thought it was a sequel to Nier Automata, and...
Oh.
Kind of okay. For good reason, because it really kind of looks like that series.
Yeah, I played the demo, and it's like... It's a Souls-like, but I... thought it was too strict on timing for perfect dodges and perfect parries, and you look at the skill tree and it's like, oh well, here's a thing you can do after a successful perfect dodge. It's like, oh well, I don't want to invest points in things I'll never be able to do. And it took several tries to beat that first boss from the demo. Now I guess the full game you do eventually get guns and other weapons, so I don't know, but I wasn't gonna pay $70 for it.
No, I want to check it out at some point, but I'm waiting for a sale. I think I missed a few sales, but there's a lot of games. So
yeah, there's too many games on the market right now. So we did get the Horizon Zero Dawn remastered as officially announced. We knew that was coming. It's a completely unnecessary remaster, but existing owners can upgrade for only $10. So that's good to know.
That isn't nice, but I'm an idiot, so I'm going to feel compelled to want to get a new disc to put in my old steelbook. Because I'm an idiot.
Okay. Well,
I'm an idiot.
Whatever you want to do. So that's, I beat that game. I never did the DLC, but yeah, if it's a free upgrade and I can keep my save file, I'm sure I'll buy it, but I have no desire to replay that entire long game. Even though I don't like Lego games that much, the Horizon Lego Adventures game is like, oh, that looks neat. I think I'd had fun playing that.
It could be neat, and it's funny because if I do play it, it will not be on a Sony system.
It's coming to Switch. so it's not exclusive, which is fine, you know. I think it's fine when they, when the big three branch out to other consoles. I wish Nintendo would port games to PC, but then, nobody would buy their consoles. So I get why they do that.
Yeah, it's different for them, so I understand.
It is. So we had those two announcements. A Fortnite DualSense controller, blah.
My son wants it.
It's ugly as hell.
It's
oh, and we already knew about this, but Phantasian, that was an Apple Arcade exclusive that's finally getting an updated version and ported to other platforms that people actually care about.
And it's getting a nice-looking physical release as well, so that's nice.
Yeah. I played maybe 10 minutes of it. It was one of those things where I had Apple Arcade for a while and just loaded it up just to see if it would work and see what it was all about. And it's like, all right, yeah, I'll get to it eventually. And then when I found out it was getting ported. So at this point, I don't feel any reason to have Apple Arcade because I ended up getting Splintered Fate on Switch. I got Shovel Knight Dig on Steam. I got What the Golf on Steam. It's like, yeah, no, you don't have any exclusives anymore. And I see no reason to pay you $6 a month. Sorry. I didn't play much of the Legacy of Kain games. Like, I played a little bit of the original, but I guess Soul Reaver 1 and 2 were remastered. That's coming to multiple platforms. So the footage from that, it looked like a remaster of, you know, a Dreamcast or PS2 era game. So, you know, something this would be a good time to visit it, but it doesn't look like a full-scale remaster to me. It looked a little, you know, still maintains those kind of cartoony visuals, which I guess is fine. That's the art style they were going for. But that looked kind of neat. Oh, yeah, and so the big announcement was Lunar Remastered Collection.
Yes.
So that is Lunar, Silver Star Story Complete, and Eternal Blue Complete. But, okay, they're coming to PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox, and Steam. So, updated visuals, widescreen mode. Those were originally Sega CD games, right? And then I think these are based on the PS1 versions. I was just going to play the Lunar Silver Star Harmony. That's the PSP game. I was just going to play that on my newly...
Yeah, I mean, you still could, because that's a different version than the PS1 game. Pretty different.
So that... on my newly reacquired Vita, it's like, oh, hey, I forgot I bought that. But then it's like, nah, I'll just wait.
Yeah,
I'll get the remasters.
It's nice to finally get these off of PS1 on hard-to-find working designs copies, which I rush to sell off before they tank in value.
Yeah.
Because they will.
Idea.
I know. I know some people may say, well, they're still rare, so they'll retain some value. Not really. They'll still be worth something, but not what they currently are. So
sell.
Yes. Yeah, so I ran off to the local game exchange, traded them in along with some other stuff and with credit, because the difference between cash and credit was a lot.
Yeah.
I made a strange purchasing decision and picked up a used PlayStation Portal.
Okay.
And
sure.
It's actually nice. I think had I paid out of pocket for it, I may have been annoyed. But essentially playing no money out of pocket for it, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, I could see how that could be fun. I seriously thought that the Vita could do PS5 remote play.
No.
And it's like, oh, no. So I still do remote play to the Steam Deck. I have, you know, the Steam Deck OLED model. So that's my preferred remote play device right now. But yeah, if the PlayStation Portal, like, if it did more than just remote play, like, if it could run anything natively, or if it could even just do cloud streaming for Plus Premium members. But, you know, hey, if you basically got it for free, then all the power to you.
I mean, it's not free. But
yeah.
I mean, if I had tried to go and sell those games on eBay now, they would not have sold for the prices they were selling for the previous day, and probably would have been sitting up there as the price declined. So it was just like, now is the time.
And yeah.
I just traded in like the game discs. I didn't trade in any of the extras, so I still have all those. Excuse me.
Okay.
Which is good.
Yeah, so I played a little bit of the first one and did not play the second one at all. So I'm looking forward to that remaster because I think last year when I was doing my JRPG July event thing, I think I did play the PS1 version of Lunar, but it was the unworking designs, like fan ROM hack or something. Yeah. So I played a little bit of that, and it's like, yeah, this is something I always meant to really sit down and get into, but I'd love to just get the remaster at this point. And from what they showed off, yeah, it doesn't look like they've changed the art style at all. It kind of looked more like what Square did with the Star Ocean Second Story remake. So it looks like it's retaining most of the original art style, just, maybe some extra texture filtering and stuff, and that's fine. And then widescreen support, so you don't have to stretch it out.
I mean, based on what Dave told me about the PSP version, which I played a lot of back in the day, but I did not finish it and got stuck somewhere or got bored with it, one of the two. I don't think it's highly regarded. So I think these are still like the definitive versions that fans of Lunar want. Well, I mean that, and there hasn't been a new version of Eternal Blue since the PlayStation version. It's
No.
just been there's been a GBA version of the first one. There's been the PSP version. I think there was even an iOS. There might have been an iOS version of. I
Probably.
don't know. I may be full of crap on that one.
Fact check us. Go for it.
Yeah, these are the ver it's and it's interesting because they had the intro song in there in the trailer, and it's I'd have to go back and listen to both versions, but it seems to be the Working Designs version of the song. So I think it's anyone's guess at this point what translation is being used. I would assume probably just the Working Designs one, which is kind of a shame.
Yeah, I
But
think I read that they were going to re-record the voices with the actual actors, but they were going to use the Working Designs script, I think is what I was reading. So
which is
maybe you posted
fine.
that on Discord.
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, somebody posted something, maybe on RP Gamer then. Okay.
But yeah, any version of those games re-released is good, so.
Yeah, I want to say about, oh, this it would have been 10 or 12 years ago at this point when I was actively collecting vintage games and I was trying to collect for Saturn. I think I do recall seeing Japanese versions of those games that weren't too expensive, but it's like, oh, I won't be able to read it. And then at that time, I want to say just the physical PS1 copies were more expensive than I wanted to pay, but everything's just gone up since then. I can't believe some of the prices I'm seeing right now. But oh well. And
Yeah, remaster
thank
everything.
yeah,
Death to scalpers.
remaster death to scalpers. Yeah, and then the good news is like so Vita games, they haven't gone up in value, but they haven't gone down either. So I did get God Wars Future Past for like $30-something, and then I got Hotshots Golf World Invitational for $30-something. From Amazon, independent sellers, but still fulfilled by Amazon, and they actually just got here yesterday, got them both installed. It's like, okay, this is fine. And good news is my Hotshots Golf save file was backed up to the
Nice.
Plus server, so I don't have to start over. And that was a game that did get ported to PS3, but is currently only playable, if you have a PS3 console with a digital copy, or if you have Plus Premium, you can cloud stream it, but I mean, with any kind of input lag, those golf games are not fun to play, you don't want to hit the ball a little too late because then you get the turtle and then it goes flying in the wrong direction, and yeah, you don't want that. But funny thing is, now I keep hitting it too soon and getting the rabbit instead, and it goes flying in the wrong direction. It's because I'm trying to compensate for the input lag, so I'm actually hitting it too early. Yeah. It's great. So no, funny thing is that game on Vita was physical only, but then on PS3 was digital only, which I thought was odd.
Weird.
Yeah. And then there was also Hotshots Golf Out of Bounds. That was a PS3 exclusive, has yet to be remastered or ported, and Really ho was hoping Sony would announce a new Everybody's Golf game, but I know the company that developed it did release a game for iOS, Apple Arcade, and for Switch. I think it was called Easy Come, Easy Golf or something. So I've been meaning to check that out. So I thought they were like a Sony-owned subsidiary, and maybe I was wrong. So that could be why we haven't gotten a new game in that series, but I digress. So yeah, Lunar looks cool. Now, the next game on the list I'm seeing here, this looked pretty neat. This is called Hell Is Us.
I don't think I saw
So
that one.
yeah, it's a Souls-like, but it looks really neat. Like, it looks like it's, I don't know, kind of a horror thing going on. Like, it almost looked like a mix between like Bloodborne and like Cyberpunk or something to that effect, you know, because it's not like a medieval fantasy setting. It's kind of futuristic stuff, and I don't know. I thought it looked pretty wild.
Sounds cool. I'm gonna have to go back and
Yeah.
look at the trailer for that.
Yeah.
And fortunately, it faces a tough market with all the Souls likes that are coming out these days.
Yeah, and especially with, you know, Stellar Blade, you know,
Yeah.
it's like how many Souls likes do we need right now? I don't know, but this one looked a little better than some of the others, is all I'm saying.
That's
But this
fair.
is also coming to Series X and PC. So it's not a PS5 exclusive. Which makes me wonder if Stellar Blade is exclusive or just timed. Like, I wonder if that'll get ported to PC. Wouldn't surprise me.
I thought it was on PC.
No, Stellar
No?
Blade is
Okay.
PS5 only. And then they already announced some Astrobot DLC, free
Woohoo!
DLC. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I was playing that the other day, and I found Joker, and I sent you the
Yeah, I
screenshot.
got him today.
You got him because
Yeah,
you were complaining about that. Yeah, you were like, I
actually.
can't find him, and I just kind of ran into him by accident in the casino level. It's like, okay, well, there he is.
I actually got him while testing out the PlayStation Portal.
Oh, there you go. Great.
But yeah, I still have more to find in that level too. Somehow I'm missing. I got him. I thought he was. So I was missing like the last four. I thought he would be the first PlayStation character in that level. He was the last one. So it's like, well, how the hell did I miss all the other ones?
Yeah. No, and I found one of the robots. It was the Shibuina from Humanity. You know, that weird puzzle game. I'm like, well, that was quick. That game just came out a while back, you know. And that actually got ported to Xbox, and it's on PlayStation Plus and Game Pass. But yeah, no, so some of those cameos are like, oh yeah, that's relatively new. That I don't think that was planned as part of the original development. So it's just, you wonder how many of the robots were kind of added in after the
Yeah.
fact or just modified. And that's fine. But I was just like, wow, like if this went into development, I don't know, 3, 4 years ago, then some of the characters in there are definitely came out afterwards. So I guess that's neat. And yeah, like you could clearly tell that one of the new bots you can get is the girl from Stellar Blade. So they're just jumping right on that. So yeah, you're getting like some speed running challenges, which is fine. And so they didn't provide a release date, just fall 2024. It's like, well, first day of fall was, you know, 3 days ago. So, sure, it's
Maybe
fine, but
soon,
it's
maybe
free.
not.
And maybe I'll actually be done with the game by then. So, no, I love Astrobot, man.
That's
That's like the
great.
most fun game ever. Yeah. There's a few people who have come over, I've shown it to them, and they're like, I gotta get this. You know? It's just, it's like a Sony Mario game. It's great.
Best. I actually want to try and find all the bots. Got anything you're roboting, Joe? Roboting. Joe.
Your robot voice.
Yes, you're a robot.
It's okay.
Still a robot.
Okay.
Maybe disconnect and reconnect.
Yeah, hang on.
Okay.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, now you're good.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You turned into Astrobot. Right.
Oh, but you sounded like that on my end. I thought it was you. Okay.
That's weird.
Oh, well. So I disconnected, reconnected. All right, good. Yeah. So, yeah, we're talking about robots, and then we, of course, when the connection speed drops, you get robot voices, yeah. Yeah, that used to happen a lot when I was doing tech support. And this is when voice over IP wasn't, like, the only phone service you could get. And, yeah, sometimes people would call in on that phone line to be like, my phone's not working. And it's like, okay, I can't understand what you're saying, but sure.
Your phone's not working. Then why are you calling in using that phone?
Yeah, it's like, can I call you back on your cell phone? Oh, I don't get any service here. Okay.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, no, it's weird. No, so I'm very familiar with that. It usually happens when there's packet loss. So, anywho. The other thing is, when Mark Cerny's face came up on the screen, I was like, wouldn't it be cool if he was just like, so, we've seen all your social media comments, and we've decided to lower the price. No.
No.
No. It was just, here's some more footage of more games running on the PS5 Pro system that no one is going to buy because it's $700, and an additional $80 if you want a disk drive. Like, what the hell,
based on the
Sony?
Fact that the disk drive sold out everywhere, I think there's actually plenty of people that are going to buy it, unfortunately.
Could be, or those could just be eBay scalpers. Who knows?
I mean, they are, but
yeah,
I think they know are. What they're doing.
Yeah. So that's the basic gist of it. They're saying Stellar Blade, Jedi Survivor, Metal Gear Solid 3 Remake is going to benefit from it. Resident Evil Village and Resident Evil 4. So essentially, yeah, for $700 or $780 or $810 if you also want to get the vertical stand for it. So for somewhere between $700 and $810, you will basically get 60 FPS in the fidelity modes, which is like, okay, fine. You know, I mean, some of the fidelity modes have really choppy frame rate, but they were right when they said, like, most players are just using performance mode. I'm like, yeah, you know, to be honest, I use performance mode because I would just rather have the higher frame rate.
Same, and I also don't really notice the difference.
No, and as much as I hate to admit it, there's a lot of games where I switch it over to the fidelity or quality mode, and it's like, this looks maybe a little bit sharper, but it's not worth it if it's running at, you know, 25 or 30 FPS. So, yeah, but it's like, the whole thing is just dumb because, like, you know, the PS4 Pro, when that launched, that was $400, and the regular PS4 got cheaper. And when the One X came out, that was $500, which was the price of the original Xbox One. So typically, when you have those kind of consoles, like, you lower the price of the old model, right? Well, they're not doing that. Now, Sony is just kind of like, nope, screw you guys. We're $500 still. 4 years later, still no price drop on PS5 or Series X. And Sony's like, no, we're going to put out a new one for $700. It's like, I just don't get it. I like how Microsoft did it because you had the Series X and then the Series S. That was the less powerful $300 model. I know someone who just got a Series S, and he's pretty happy with it because he only had a Switch to begin with. And I briefly had a Series S because it was the only one I was able to get a pre-order on 4 years ago, and then I ended up selling it to get the Series X. But no, the Series S is a good system, but it's like, I don't know what Sony is doing right now. I mean, I know they had the $400 diskless PS5 at launch, but the slim model...
I don't think anyone buys those. Like,
no, I don't think so. But basically, like, they announced this slim model, and it's like the same price and a detachable disk drive or whatever. I'm like, well, I thought slim models were supposed to be smaller and cheaper, and now this PS5 Pro looks like it's even bigger than this current monstrosity. It's like, what were they thinking? And You look at the Xbox and go, okay, there is a $350 Series X that has more hard drive space, and they did announce a Series X with 2 terabytes of internal storage for $600 and a custom paint job. It's like, okay, but like, I think that if Xbox was selling better, I really think that PS5 Pro would have been $600 with a disc drive included. And so this is why competition is good. Mm-hmm. So I really wish that, you know, Microsoft kind of get their act together. Like, I know they had all those acquisitions. They've got Call of Duty now. Black Ops 6 is coming out in a few weeks. So maybe that'll help. And I know their business model is different now. There's really just focused on Game Pass. But it's like, this is what happens when Sony doesn't have, like, a big competitor. They just kind of gouge people. And then it's also interesting to look at the Switch, because that was $300. And yeah, it was using dated hardware, but that's how they got the price where they wanted it. It was essentially an NVIDIA Shield tablet with some enhancements. But, you know, then they did the $200 Switch Lite for people who just wanted a mobile system, and there was a market for that. There were a lot of people who only had DS, 3DS, didn't want Wii U.
Well, think about this for a second.
The
Switch Lite costs less than the 3DS did at launch.
Yeah. That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then for $350, you get the Switch OLED model, which I personally think is worth every penny. You know, because it's a slightly bigger screen. You have an Ethernet port built into the dock. I really like the white dock and the white Joy-Cons. I think it makes it look less toy-like and more like a fancy system. And there's a better kickstand on the back. There's, you know, other improvements. So, but it's just, I just don't know what Sony is thinking. And I don't know, I'm kind of hoping that nobody buys the Pro and then the price goes down and then I can get one, you know?
Don't do it. It's a trap.
Right. I know. It's too expensive. But I'm like, well, gee, for $700, I could just get a new motherboard, new processor, new RAM chips, and then probably still have a couple bucks left over.
I mean, you know? Sure, but most people don't have a nice PC like you do.
Yeah. Well, that's the plan. The plan is I want to build another computer when the next NVIDIA cards come out, maybe go from the 4070 to the 5080. But then, you know, that might not be for another year or two, depending on finances and all that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see a reason to get a PS5 Pro. And like, when I got the PS5, I ended up selling my PS4 Pro, and that helped mitigate the cost. But and I know I could do that again, but even still, it's too much. It's just way too much. And I feel like Sony needs to be punished for charging so much freaking money for that thing. But then, didn't the 3DO sell for like $700 and nobody bought it? And the Philips CDI was kind of pricey. The Saturn was expensive when it came out. The PS3 was $600 when it came out, and it didn't sell, and they had to drop the price to compete with Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. So, it's just very odd. I don't know. But that's basically...
Because it's a pro system, they can do what they want.
I guess, and nobody's making you buy it, right?
Yeah.
I did notice the other day, they did add some PSVR 2 games to Plus Premium, so... Obviously, if you did get that $550 VR headset, you'd have some games you could play without having to buy them. And then I think there was also the one I skipped over. There's a Hitman VR 2 title. I don't play the Hitman games. Yeah. Meh. Oh, you know what? I almost forgot. There was a Metro VR game that looks pretty neat. I think that would be scary. You know, those games always had good atmosphere. So I don't know where it fits into the story. I liked Metro 2023, and then Last Light was okay. I didn't like Metro Exodus. I thought it was poorly optimized, and I really didn't care for it. It was a very difficult kind of survival game, open world survival, and I was constantly dying. It's like, I don't like this. So those are the other things I kind of forgot about. Yeah, and then I guess if you already own the original Hitman game, you can get an upgrade. Okay, that's probably worth mentioning. Oh, and then there was some footage of Dragon Age: The Veilguard. That was nice to see.
I mean, sure. I'm gonna level with you. I'm not gonna buy, not gonna be convinced BioShock made a good game until I have plenty of evidence after Anthem.
Mm-hmm.
They have not earned it.
You mean BioWare?
BioWare. When I say BioShock.
Yeah.
You knew what I meant.
I knew what you meant. Yeah, I'm not trying to give you too much of a hard time here. Yeah. So that was cool. I mean, I thought it looked neat. It's just, it didn't really show off a lot of the UI, but it looks like it's leaning more towards Dragon Age 2 as opposed to Origins and Inquisition. And I have mixed feelings about that, but then I also thought the dragon they were fighting looked kind of stupid. But beyond that, I mean, the graphics looked fine. And, you know, that's something I'm excited about. But yeah, I don't feel compelled to pay the $70 at launch. And yeah, and BioWare games can be a little glitchy here and there. So, I don't know. But I'm fully expecting that to be 30 FPS on console and poorly optimized garbage on PC, just like Dragon Age Inquisition was. Dragon Age Inquisition, I tried to play it on PC, and it's like, even now, even on my current computer, like, running it at 4K is just not always great. And I get that it was never meant to run at that resolution, but...
Oh, hey, Fireman.
Oh, yeah. This is Q&A Quest, and there are going to be Qs. Forgot about that.
Even though we snuck it in on a different day.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of games are supposed to get some kind of PS5 Pro enhancement, but who cares? And then I don't really care much about the VR headset, only because it's way too expensive. It briefly went on sale for like $350, and I almost grabbed it. And the other thing is the headset does work with Steam now. You have to buy an adapter. But there are some Steam VR games, like Half-Life Alyx, that you can now play using a PSVR 2 headset, I believe. So that's exciting. Yeah, more of a reason to get one, but still not going to pay $550 for that, no way. And that's it. So yeah, this is an early stream, and I've just been babbling on and on for 40 minutes. So you're playing Tokyo Xanadu. What else have you been playing lately?
Hold on. Let me just respond to Fireman here. We were early today and on the wrong day because unfortunately Dave had a death in the family. So he's going to be away, and wanted to get in something this week about the Sony State of Play because there was actually a lot of RPG related stuff there. Say someone is streaming Kei no Kiseki, else I might have missed your stream. I don't know which one that is. Is that the new one? Is that the new Legend of Heroes? There's so many. Anyway, I've mostly been playing Tokyo Xanadu. I've kind of hit a groove, so I'm kind of just going to be rolling with it for a while. Maybe till I roll credits. I don't know. We'll see. What have you been playing?
Well, I think I kind of mentioned all the games I've been playing already, but just to go, just quick recap. Astrobot, of course. And then I was playing Diablo 4, and I got my seasonal character to level 100 and had no desire to do the ridiculous endgame content. And I'm probably going to hold off on the expansion for the time being. And then, reacquiring the Vita, as I mentioned, I did load up Freedom Wars, and looks like my save data was still there, but I had only done, like, the first tutorial mission. So, I did the second tutorial mission, and it's like, okay, yeah, this is kind of neat. I could maybe get into this. And then Hot Shots Golf World Invitational. And then some other Vita games I kind of forgot I had. I was doing... There was New Little King Story. That was a Wii game that got ported to Vita with better graphics. The frame rate kind of sucks, but that's a neat little game. And yeah, just a whole slew of different Vita games. And of course, if you tuned in on Sunday night, we did do Dragon's Crown. That's always a fun game to play. I could play that all day.
Yes, yeah.
So as part of my Sega Timber event that I'm currently doing for 5 more days. I did record a 1 hour and 20 minute full length review of the Sega Genesis mini console that came out in 2019. So I said, you know, is it still good 5 years later? It's like, well, I believe that it is. I still think it's the best of the mini consoles. It offers the best value if you can get it from MSRP, which you probably can't. So for $80, you got 42 built-in games. You got two controllers. They're USB, so you can actually plug them right into your computer if you want to use them for the Sega collection on Steam or whatever, or emulators. And I'd gotten the $15 or $20 Retrobit 6-button controller. And so, yeah, what I did was I just kind of put the phone behind me on the bookshelf, and it was filming the TV, and I was sitting there, and I kept, you know, looking at the camera, and it was, you know, just playing the games. And so that was a 66 gigabyte file, and it took a while to upload, but it's 4K, 60 FPS, and shows off a whole bunch of Genesis and also a few non-Genesis games running on that awesome little mini console. And so, yeah, if you can find one of those for $80, $100 even, could be worth it. The Genesis Mini 2 console, it's still Amazon Japan only. So it's $20 for shipping, and currently it's $100, which means it's $120, and it has a lot of crappy games on it, so I wouldn't bother with that. And that one can't be hacked either. Yeah, so I did that review for Sega Timber. And then I finally got around to playing a little bit of Popful Mail.
Ooh, Falcom. Falcom.
Is that a Falcom game?
Sure is.
Okay. So that was released on Sega CD, and I tried playing it on an emulator a long time ago, but I didn't understand, like, you need the right BIOS files and you got to put them in the right location and all that. So I've only recently gotten Sega CD games to work on some of my consoles and emulators. So I did have that installed on the Genesis Mini running off of a USB drive. And now here's the thing, though. Remember when you were here the other day and my 6-button controller crapped out a couple times?
Yes.
Well, it kind of did it again.
Oh, no.
Right now it's okay. But see, the thing is, when I unplugged that controller and put in the regular 3-button controller, that one wasn't working either. And I'm hoping that there's no issue with the USB port on my favorite little mini console. But then when I removed the USB drive and was just running games that are built in, it was okay. And then after doing some resets, I did get the 6-button controller to work, and I did, you know, record footage of Popful Mail. So I don't know, that's a neat little game. I played about 45 minutes of it and got to the second boss and couldn't beat him, and I had low health and no healing items, and the game doesn't have a map, and it doesn't have any kind of fast travel, as far as I can tell, so I didn't want to go all the way back to town. But I figured that's something, like, I could just play it casually, but for the purpose of the video, I just wanted to get a decent amount of footage and just give my first impressions. So the funny thing is, I did post this on Blue Sky, I did post it on Discord. Like, when I first heard the name, or saw it written down with no context, to me, Popful Mail made me think of the post office protocol for email. And I'm kind of imagining this, like, modern day top-down JRPG where you go to different towns and you exchange email addresses with NPCs, and you gotta, like, log into computers in each town to get new quests and stuff. And then I thought, well, maybe it's just regular mail, though. Maybe you just play like a mailman, you just gotta go deliver letters. And it's like, no, Popful Mail is the name of the female protagonist, and it's a fantasy medieval setting, and she wears these big metal shoulder pads. So I'm like, oh, okay, it's just mail as in, like, chainmail armor. Oh, that makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? So, yeah, that's a neat little game. And then just last night, I recorded some footage of Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight. And I just did a couple minor edits to that, and that should be live on YouTube either tomorrow or the day after. So, also, I did do a couple streams of Astrobot. So, what I did was I just did some private live streams straight to YouTube, and then that way I can just make them public afterwards, or if I want to do some edits, then I can do that. So I'm not doing any Twitch streaming right now, just going straight to YouTube, and that's fine. I got my PS5 to finally successfully live stream straight to YouTube at 1080p 60. So that's good. So yeah, that's where you should go. Smoke and Joe Gamer on YouTube. Check out those videos, please. And what else was I playing? No, and then I've just been dabbling in different games on the Series X, mainly just to get the Game Pass quests, but I did play a little bit of Persona 3 Reload. I'd like to put more time into that one. And just the other games. Oh, I started Monster Sanctuary, finally.
Oh, I've heard that's good.
Yeah, it's like a 2D platformer Pokemon game. It's like, oh, that's a really neat idea. Yeah. I was worried about how it would be implemented, but I played for about 20 minutes, did a couple battles, caught a few new critters, and it's like, oh, this is like really good. Okay. So that's also on Game Pass.
Yeah, it's been on my list to play for a while.
Yeah. Well, you better play it before it comes off of there, you know.
Yeah, I have it on Switch.
That's the thing with Game Pass. You never know when or if certain games are going to be added or removed. I'm going to be downgrading my Game Pass Ultimate next month because I really just... I got a three-month card, you know, really just to do Modern Warfare 3, and I got burned out on that. And then I was playing Diablo 4 on the Xbox just to get the achievements and Game Pass quests, but I can still play that on Steam. So, yeah, no, I got a lot of different games I've been playing. So let's see. Will Gaijin show up? Actually, he said that he's not going to be available again until October 10th, 11th. Unfortunately, so yeah. And then, so Real Fireman wants to ask Gaijin about the Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah,
sequel.
He should be here in, I think, 2 weeks-ish.
Yeah,
I believe, but not this week.
So he's saying that there is a rumor about Sony and AMD cooking up a new handheld. Won't Sony focus on specs hurt them? I don't know. There is a reason why I sold my Steam Deck and then paid more to buy a lighter x86 handheld. Yeah, there are other Steam Deck alternatives. Like there's the Aya Neo consoles. There's the Lenovo Legion Go. And then I think there is an updated model of the Asus ROG Ally. It's called the X. Yeah, I like my Steam Deck. Well, I got the OLED model with the SSD built in. And then he says, holding something that heavy while lying in bed is just a chore. Yeah, I agree with that. Feel like Sony will be better served by focusing on portability, cooling, and battery life.
Yes.
I can agree with that because I just got my Vita back. And now the Switch OLED is staying in the dock for the most part. And then I've got the Steam Deck in the bedroom if I want to just play something quick before bed or do remote play. But yeah, it's funny playing the Vita for a couple days and then picking up that Steam Deck. I'm like, oh, this thing is huge. And so the thing is, like, in terms of portability, like, I don't always want to take my Steam Deck OLED or my Switch OLED outside because Steam Deck...
I still get use on my 3DSs because they're smaller. Yeah.
So that's just it. The Steam Deck is this big, bulky, heavy thing, and it was also really expensive. It's like, man, if I dropped it, I'd have an aneurysm. You know? And the, you know, Switch OLED was $350, and again, it's like, I wouldn't want to leave that somewhere or drop it or have it get stolen along with all of my games that are in the case for it. So with the Vita, it's like, oh, cool. Now I actually have a portable console that I'm not afraid to bring outside. I'm not afraid to bring it over to my parents' house.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I drop it, the Switch Lite, because it's just like, this is smaller and easier to bring around.
I'll be sad if I break it, but I won't, you know, have a heart attack or an aneurysm.
Yeah.
So, all right, so rumors about Sony and AMD coming up with a new handheld. That would be neat because we were just talking about that PlayStation Portable or Portal and how it doesn't do anything.
Well, the new 3DS XL is definitely the better console. The bigger biggest reason that made me choose the new 2DS was that it was smaller. Yeah, the new 2DS is a really nice form factor.
Yeah, I mean, that may be part of the reason I didn't like the 3DS that much, because I ended up getting the new 3DS XL, and that thing was chonky, let me tell you.
Chonky. I actually, although I like that model, the new 3DS XL, I don't really like the form factor of. The new 3DS has the stylus in the perfect spot, like right on the right side. You can pull it out easy. I feel like every other model, I hate where the stylus is.
Okay.
Hate. Yeah, the new 2DS is really nice. All right, what you were saying?
I'm just trying to substantiate those rumors. Of course, they're rumors. So Tom's Guide, WCCF Tech, Tweak Town, PlayStation Universe, The Verge. Oh no, not The Verge. MSN. So I mean, it looks like a lot of publications have run with that story, according to my Google search here. But again, it's still just a rumor, and it's some kind of leaker's report. But who knows?
I had heard this rumor, but the rumor I heard about was that they were working with AMD for the PlayStation 6, not for a portable.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Yeah, no, new PlayStation handheld powered by AMD is in early development. Oh, but this is from February.
Yeah, but what about that says they're chasing performance, Fireminer? Because I mean, they can work with AMD and not be chasing it. Knowing Sony, they probably would fuck it up somehow. I mean, they had a good thing going with the PSP, and just, man, did they botch the Vita so badly.
The Vita is an amazing little device. It didn't get good software support, mostly from Sony themselves, and it had overpriced proprietary memory cards, and there were plenty of things wrong with it, but you could listen to music on it. You could watch videos on it. You could get a 3G model.
Used by anyone.
Well, I used them.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they did botch it, so yeah, I would be surprised if they wanted to re-enter the handheld market when they first, you know, announced Project Q that ended up being the portal.
I wouldn't be that surprised. I mean, the Switch is huge. Like, everyone is always obsessed with Sony versus Xbox. The Switch won this generation hand over fist by tens of millions of consoles, slaughtered everyone else. So, I could see someone else wanting to get into that market.
Okay.
But the thing, here's the thing, is what makes, I think, the Switch so popular, in addition to, you know, just being Nintendo, being cheaper, is the Switch factor. The portable and on the TV.
Yeah.
Because they merged their disparate console lines into one. So if I think if Sony comes out with like a portable system and it's just portable, I don't know that that's going to do anything.
Yeah, and the PSP, you could actually plug in a component cable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was surprised when the Vita didn't have that too. So I mean, that's really all they'd have to do. They don't even need like a dock per se, or they could sell the dock separately if they wanted to copy Nintendo. No, so I mean, it's something that I would want, sure, I'd be happy about it, but I don't know.
Then I think they're just entering into the same issue that Nintendo finally got rid of. Like, it's not going to replace the PlayStation 5 or the PlayStation 6. It would have to be something separate. Because if they can't make a portable PlayStation 5, so I don't really know how they go about that.
Yeah. I thought it would be cool if Microsoft did a handheld that could, you know, do remote play from the Series X, and then you could just natively download Xbox 360, Xbox One games onto it. Maybe not play the new games. And I thought that, you know, when they announced PlayStation Portal, I was kind of hoping like, well, gee, what if that could run PS4 games natively, but you know, no such luck.
I mean,
so
they should have. I mean, it's got firmware. They could probably update it, but they should have been made it to run something like,
yeah,
download some, I don't know, PS1 games or something. Something. It's basically an Android tablet. It should be able to do all those things, but you know, whatever.
Yep.
You don't get it.
Let's see. Okay, so Fireminer said, until this point, I feel like the Retrobit Sega Saturn controller is still the best six-button controller you can buy because you can't find the Hori Fighting Commander at a reasonable price anymore. Yeah, I could agree with that, certainly. I just hope that my controller isn't busted, and I hope that the USB port on my Genesis is not also busted. I would hate to think they'd both fail at the same time. But, let's see. Yeah, isn't the new line of AMD CPU is an attempt at better power efficiency, but because it isn't faster, so gamers hate it. I have been reading about the newest line of AMD processors, yeah, the 9000 series. They're saying that they're, compared to the 7000 series, they're better for, like, rendering and video editing and other computing tasks, but it looks like the, what is it, the 7800X3D is still considered AMD's best gaming processor. So people haven't been too happy because, yeah, the brand new 9000 series are not really as fast as they were hoping or expecting. It seems like AMD's typical bit of exaggerated marketing, as they are prone to do. But, you know, each new CPU, GPU that comes out tends to, yeah, have better power efficiency. So that's always... that's always a plus, but yeah, I think I'd want to maybe hold off on that for now. Like, if I were to upgrade my computer right now, I would just go with the 7800X3D processor, to be honest with you. But the good news, though, is that the 9000 series does not need another new motherboard like the 7000 series did. So, but like, the motherboard I'm using is a B550, and that can do the, you know, 5000 series processors, but you would need a B650 or better to do the 7000 series. It's like, oh geez, you know, I hate when they do that where it's like every new processor generation, it's like, oh yeah, you need another motherboard. It's like, screw you guys, seriously. Then Fireminer's talking about this new Yo-Kai Watch trailer. I did read about that. That supposedly, yeah, they were going to try to bring back Yo-Kai Watch. And people are complaining that it uses AI art. And
said they were using AI for making rough drafts, drafts of game and character proposal.
Have level 5's concept artists run out of ideas or knowledge to draw from? I get why level 5 are using AI to write promotional blurbs, but even letting AI making the rough drafts is just adding another level of unnecessary complexity.
Yeah, sounds like a mess.
Yeah, AI sucks. I wouldn't say that it's necessarily that they ran out of ideas or knowledge, but more so that the publisher probably has certain demands to try to fray costs.
They invested
a lot. Oh, okay. Never mind then. So the executives in charge of the teams are probably pushing them to cut costs. Who knows?
I mean, it's been a while since level 5 had hit, so I think they're struggling.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah, and that's another game I kind of missed out on. I really wanted to play the Yo-Kai Watch games on 3DS, but I never got around to it. And then one day, this was years ago, on stream, you were playing the Japanese version of Yo-Kai Watch 3 that only came out in Japan for the Switch. It's like, well, why didn't that get localized? Four?
Because Level 5's North American branch closed down.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
They had announced it was coming to the U.S., and then it never did. Presumably because that branch shut down.
Okay. Well,
I think they made a big play to try and make Yo-Kai Watch a thing here in the U.S. Didn't really do anything.
No.
And I think the Inazuma 11 games were relatively decent in Europe, but yeah, they kind of fizzled out.
Okay.
So I don't know. It was.
I like how your third party
might pick up that at some point.
Okay, I liked how your characters just seem to be walking forever, just waiting for you to hit the button to move the text along. That's funny. Okay. Yeah, so no, Level 5, didn't they do the Ni No Kuni games?
Yes, but those were published by Bandai Namco.
Yeah, and then I played White Knight Chronicles. It's like, that wasn't great. Yeah. So then, all right, then Fireminer is saying that the rumor about that Sony handheld said it would also get a TV dock. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, we'll see if that comes to anything. So yeah, just my research was showing those rumors were circulating back in February, and I don't think they've said anything else about it. I hope it's true.
I would love another portable system. Yeah. I have questions about how they would support it, but...
Exactly, because they didn't support Vita. Yeah. Poor little Vita.
Yeah, I mean,
I love that little, I love that little guy.
They put some devs on there and let them just cook some lower cost games. It could be amazing.
Yeah.
From established properties instead of just making random shit. Like, I see random shit, but a lot of the weird games that came out were awesome. Like Gravity Rush was great. That could have been a series if they kept going with it, I think. Yeah, there's a lot of weird games like Soul Sacrifice. Like, you can't get someone to... Like, the PSP did great because you had some God of War games on there that were good. You had some two Ratchet and Clank games. You had a Jak and Daxter game. You had...
Oh, yeah.
Lots of stuff. Sure, it didn't beat out the DS, but it still did really well. Because it had support, and the Vita didn't, so...
I just don't know what Sony's deal is these days, that's all. What is your deal, Sony?
See, Fireminer has some more here. He says there's an article on Automaton Media about a presentation that Level 5 made about their use of AI. So basically, they use Stable Diffusion to create the draft for Megaton Musashi's title screen and the 3D models for Yo-Kai Watch and Inazuma 11 characters. These things aren't expensive to make, so I wonder how much they cost they actually cut. Probably nothing. Probably nothing at all. That's how these things usually go. Here's this cool new thing that'll save you time. Like EA, hey... We have this Frostbite engine. What if everyone just uses this? That worked out great. Or oh. Hey, let's send all our jobs offshore in lots of tech companies, and then a lot of those jobs ended up coming back because it didn't work out. Like it just. Just so many of these shitty business things come out, and they're just a waste of time and energy. I don't get it.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Sucks ass. Did we hit everything in the Sony presentation, by the way?
I believe we did. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I even remembered a couple things that were not showing in the list that I was referencing. So I believe we covered everything from that presentation.
Okay. My voice is starting to go, so we should probably start to wrap this up.
Well, since I am co-host for a day, I want to do what Dave does. So I'm just going to pick one of these Discord questions and see if I can answer it quickly, and then we'll call it a night. Sounds good. I'm just trying to make sure I don't pick one that already got answered. Not that one. Hang on. Oh. Which FMV game has the best acting?
Oh, God.
None? I thought... I'm not sure that any of them are good.
I'm not sure if I've actually played any of them.
Yeah. I played...
There you go.
I played a little bit of Sewer Shark when I was a kid. And it's just this guy yelling, this like drill sergeant kind of guy just yelling at you the whole time for pressing the wrong buttons. I liked the, you know, the cutscenes that they did in a lot of PC games, like the Command and Conquer games especially, but I don't know. I haven't played that many FMV games. That one just kind of popped out at me. I thought that would be a good opportunity to just say, well, what FMV game had good acting?
None. Nil.
Is there a game glamorizing mental illness? Not really, but, you know, Eternal Darkness had the sanity meter, and then there were the Amnesia games kind of had that too, and also Hellblade games were trying to kind of draw attention to mental illness and stuff. So I wouldn't say any games really glamorize it, but I think it's important for there to be representation. I think I want to say that a lot of developers are more sensitive to it than they used to be, and they're trying to, you know, shine a more compassionate light on the whole thing. So, that's all I would want to say about that, I guess. Let's see. Oh, okay, so I'll do one more. Do you think people care more about owning physical copies of books, movies, etc., as much as physical games? When it comes to anime, I feel like lots of people have made peace with DVD and Blu-ray being too expensive for them because that is how anime studios make money, but then they also don't buy merch to support the studios. Yeah, you know, that's an interesting thing to think of because, like, I don't know, most of my collections are digital now, but I still have, like, a bajillion books. Like, when it comes to books, I'd rather have the physical copy. Movies, I don't buy that many movies anymore because most of them are on streaming services where you can rent it. You can get a good deal on like a UHD movie on like the Xbox. And as for physical games, yeah, sometimes I'll go through a phase where I only want physical games. Other times I'm okay with digital because it tends to be cheaper. So I think some people just care about having physical things and some people don't. And I think it's consistent across all mediums. If a person really cares about physical, then they want everything to be physical is what I would think, but I could be wrong. What do you think?
I would agree.
Okay.
I think the whole thing with anime, yeah, it's too expensive.
Right.
Yeah, like it's just ridiculous. And especially with streaming now, like no one wants to pay like hundreds of dollars for a bunch of collections of DVDs or Blu-rays when they can just pay $10 a month for a streaming service.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's good for the medium either. Like,
it hasn't been. I think anime would be more popular if they didn't charge so much fucking money.
No, I mean, yeah. I don't think the streaming service is good for the medium. Like, I don't know that it's going to make enough money. It's too cheap. Like, I don't, I think there's a lot of question as if the how sustainable that actually is. And I feel like those services are just going to keep going up in price till we're paying more than we were paying for cable.
Yeah, that's true.
Not saying I think we should all go out and have to buy a bunch of anime on Blu-rays, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. As much as I used to love collecting DVDs and Blu-rays, I didn't buy that many anime box sets because they were just too pricey. Yeah.
Firewire says, yeah, apparently the higher-ups at Crunchyroll are complaining that the physical sales have gone down since they folded Right Stuff. So why the fuck did they fold Right Stuff?
Who knows?
Oh my God.
Silly Crunchyroll, so...
Idiots.
Oh, okay, and then Farminer also mentions, I guess, some kind of new Time Crisis game that doesn't use a light gun. I don't think I'd want to play that. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So I just
Yeah.
want to answer a couple questions. I figured Dave would want that while he's gone. And then just keep in mind which ones I answered, and that way we don't re-answer them. So that's been about an hour. Yeah, we wanted this just to be a quick, short episode, and I think we covered everything
And
that we
my
wanted
voice
to.
is failing.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right,
So I already plugged my YouTube channel, that's Smokin' Joe Gamer, if you want to check out some of my content. I recently did a review of that Genesis mini console, and I got some other videos. And then next month, I want to do a bunch of horror-themed videos, maybe attempt some Resident Evil speedruns or something. So yeah, consider checking that out. And then also, Gaijin, his real name is Michael Yarimitsu, and he does have a few book series that you should check out. There's Princesses of the Pizza Parlor is a neat little book series. I actually bought one of them, and I've been meaning to read it, and I
They're
might
very good.
gift it to my niece if I think it's, appropriate. And I think he did say that those were geared more towards like younger audiences anyways. And then he also did a book, a bunch of like Japanese folk tales. It was called Tanuki is a Teapot, so that's his other book that he got published. So yeah, consider checking those out. And then we usually do shenanigans on Sunday night. That is around midnight on Twitch. I'm probably not going to be able to do it this week. I have to get on an earlier schedule next week, and I don't want to be up, till 1 or 2 in the morning on Sunday night.
Maybe I'll do the
But
Anthem stream with Pew we've been telling
oh,
him to do.
hey, Anthem stream with Pew, you do that. That would be great. There might be an audience for that. I don't know. But yeah, so I don't plan on doing this week's shenanigans, and Dave is gone anyways. But next Sunday, I think we'll be able to play as Terry in Street Fighter VI. And if it's a week after he comes out, then
It's
their
Pew.
chances are there won't be a stupid maintenance right when we want to play. So consider checking that out. So I'm going to go ahead and say that yes, 2 Sundays from now, we should be playing Street Fighter VI as Terry Bogard.
Pew, do you want to do an Anthem stream Sunday night? If so, let me know.
You said the magic word, and here he is. Yeah. And then, yeah, so I don't know what the deal is for next week's Q&A quest, but normally this would be recorded on a Thursday night around midnight Eastern Standard Time. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, so I may be a guest on, I might not, or maybe you'll get someone else to be a guest, and that's totally up to you. It's your podcast. So also, if you want to join the RP Gamer Discord server, there's some interesting people on there. We talk about all kinds of video games, pop culture, all sorts of things. So I'm not actually a staff member, but I'm on there. You can chat with me on there if you felt so inclined to do so. So that's worth checking out. Yeah, so if you go to rpgamer.com, there's some reviews. Actually, if you look back in the reviews, if you type in Joe Hanley, you may find my CrossCode review from years ago, Underworld Ascendant, which was just god awful, and I also published a review for Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire. So yeah, do check out RP Gamer if you're looking to read some reviews of RPGs. Okay.
All right, that's it. We'll see
Oh,
you next time,
and
folks.
Pew said maybe.
Okay, so maybe Anthem Stream Sunday. We'll
Well, he
see.
didn't say maybe, he said maybe.
Maybe.
There's an H on the end. Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay.
All right.
So thanks for tuning in, anyone who tunes in, and have a good night. See you, Space Cowboys.
See ya.